Strangely calm. Bizarre. Strangely calm. Room for stuff up here. Let's see if I can figure this. So, that'll be okay, right?
Ooh, shakarama.
There. Don't like those things. So this is, at one point a few weeks ago, I figured, okay, I'll just get up and just give a testimony. But the Lord's been working something into me for like a year. And when the girls asked me, Jeannie, maybe you need to think about sharing something at the women's retreat, I'm like, I actually enjoy public speaking. I'm one of those weird people that do. But if I have to stand up and speak for the Lord, I am very careful. I'd much rather talk to you about the anatomy and physiology of something, or, you know, how to do some great back exercises, or, you know, myofascial stuff. I would much rather talk to you about that. But if it's something about the Lord, I feel a very strong responsibility that I better have experienced and know what I'm talking about. I better not have it as theory, not have it as something nice, not have it as nice words, not be inspirational, because that I know doesn't do the here any good, and is actually bad for me. So, and it's a mess anyway, and then it's horrible. So, and I feel rotten. So when I can speak from the heart, from something he has built in me, that I'm sure he's built in me, then it kind of flows. So let me pray. Father, you are such a good God, we know that, and we want to look at your love tonight. We want to live in the good of what you've done for us. We don't want niceness. We don't want inspiration. We want to know your love, and that we want to know you more and more, and nothing else will do. You, if you haven't already, you are going to teach us each in our life that nothing else will do but knowing you face to face and knowing your love. So, Lord, I pray that these words would honor you and be true to something you want to say to us, not what I want to say because I think people need to hear it or anything, but something that you want to say to each of our hearts tonight, Lord. May you communicate through me those things that you've really pressed on my heart that have made a difference in my life, that mean something real to me, that I can share with my sisters here that will mean something to them. We need your Holy Spirit here, Lord, to speak and to stir hearts, to create even an opening in those hearts that maybe need to hear something. So help us, we all cry, Abba Father, help us, we pray in Jesus' name. So I can be confident of that. About a year ago, we started in our gym, believe it or not. Yes, the gym is a big part of my life. I'm not ashamed of that. That's why I know my precious Kelsey here and her mom. And about a year ago, we started a little women's group, women's Bible study, with a few of us. You probably didn't even know that was happening when it first happened. And just a few of us started getting together. And they asked me to just do a devotional. You know, I was the old lady of the group. Here, you do a devotional, you know. You know Jesus the longest. So, and what I was really stuck on at that time was from Song of Solomon. I am my beloved's, and he is mine. That has sort of become my verse of the year. And, but I'm not talking about that tonight. But launching off of that. So in that year, I started asking the Lord, fearfully, and rightly so, what does it mean that you are mine? Okay, I am my beloved's. We get that positional, right? I am my beloved's when we know him. We know we are his. But then the other part of that he is mine. And I know there's more to it. There's a lot in that. And I think we can all get our heads around that we are his. But it's over time and experience that we have to find out in life that he is ours and what that means. We have to start knowing, what is it that you're mine? You're mine. What does that mean to me in my life? And I need to live in the good of that. So much of what happens to us, the circumstances in our life, I believe, are to reveal to us. He's trying to reveal to us what it means that he is mine. So I've been chewing on that. And it goes on in Song of Solomon, which I'm not talking about tonight, which apparently I am a little bit. His banner over me is love is what follows that. By the way, Song of Solomon 6:3 is the he is mine. And then his banner over me is love. And what is a banner? A banner is a declaration. We can look to a banner for orientation when we're lost. We look to a banner for help. So his banner over us is that we are loved. And when we are lost, confused, we can look to that banner and find help, right? And then also that he brings us into his banqueting house. There's a lot in Song of Solomon 2:4. In his house of wine, it talks about where our needs are met, our thirst is quenched, we are filled up, and it is a place of joy. So I've been chewing a lot on, okay, cool. His banner over me is love. He brings me into his banqueting house. And all these things are available for me. So my frustration in the last year has been over and over, why don't I live in the good of that? Why don't I always feel like I'm living in his banqueting house? We're supposed to live in the good of that as Christians. And I started asking myself, what gets in the way of me taking advantage of this and really living in his love? And asking myself that question. Because I don't know about you, but I fear in life. I fear fear. I fear being afraid. I fear that as I go on with the Lord, what's he going to ask of me? What about when bad things happen? And I have to find comfort and peace. I have to look to find that banner there, and I have to live in the good of that. When bad things come, when heartache comes. And we were going through some heartache in the last couple years, why can't I live in the good of that and find relief and peace and know that love? What gets in the way of that? And I've been haunted in the last year sometimes, haunted by fear. Haunted by fear of not even knowing what it was, fear itself. And my struggle has been that I want to be okay. I want to know that love, and I want to be okay in the midst of difficulty. And I found myself wanting. I found myself not really being able to appropriate that, and asking myself why, and trying to put concrete thoughts, concrete sentences, and meaning to why I couldn't get there. Why can't I get to that power of Him being in me, that He is mine? So let me read you a couple of things. I love quotes. I love quotes. I have a quote book that wonderful quote. I write them down. I keep them. It was supposed to be, my kids gave it to me, it was supposed to be a prayer journal. And I'm not very good at prayer journals, but I love quotes. So it's become my quote book. And praise the Lord for men and women who over the years have written, have put in, put words, have put the pen to paper, thoughts, wonderful thoughts of God. I think they're Holy Spirit. I just blanked on the word. Inspired. Thank you. Holy Spirit inspired. So listen. So I know it's Friday and it's late. I'm going to try to be quick here. But listen to just a couple of really great quotes. Okay. Such then is the Christian's faith, and such this hope. No daydream of weak minds, no fable cunningly advised, but a hope both sure and steadfast, a most holy faith. What strikes me about this is no daydream of weak minds, no fable cunningly advised. We aren't about a daydream of weak minds. We have a most holy faith. We have something to stand on that's sure and steadfast. No fable cunningly advised. I don't want that. I don't need that in my life. I need to stand on, yeah, truth and something real and steadfast. I think sometimes in my struggles, I turn my faith into daydream of weak minds. I turn it into something that is not sure and steadfast. But let me get to that. Here's another one. Remember that we have no more faith at any time than we have in the hour of trial. All that will not bear to be tested is mere carnal confidence. I don't want mere carnal confidence. I don't want nice words. I want reality. I want to stand on reality. And reality changes us. Here's the best one yet. Unless we can look the darkest, blackest fact full in the face without damaging God's character, we do not yet know Him. I want to be able, and I think that's part of my fear and my angst in the last year. Fear of Him asking that of me. So I had a lot of these things written down and prepared before the last few weeks of my life. And I don't know if you guys know, the last few weeks of my life, we have faced the blackest, darkest fact full in the face. And a lot of what I had been writing down and preparing, I'm like, okay, honey, now's the time. Find His love. Find that banner. Find what it means that I am yours. You know you're mine, but you find what it is that I am yours, because nothing else is going to help you. Nothing else. I want to live there. That's where I want to be, and that's where I want to live. So, scripture that is living, the living word, Romans 15:13. Now may the God of hope, it's very familiar to you, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. The only way we're going to abound in hope is by the power of the Holy Spirit in us. Find Him, get to Him, know Him, and then you will know that power. Because it's going to take power. It takes power to live this life, right? It doesn't take just believing daydreams of weak minds or cunningly devised fables, or niceness, or inspirational talks. We have a wonderful girl at our gym, and you'll know who I'm talking about. She is loving, kind, wonderful in every way. And she is the strongest person within herself, and I pray for her because someday she's going to come to the point of realizing that she has one of those people that every day on Instagram has a lovely, beautiful thing, you know, and I'm always like, oh, brother. Oh, again, what does she have? And some of them are good, but someday she's going to find out that all that inspiration and niceness and goodness and power within yourself is going to leave her flat. So I don't want to live there. I can't live there. It doesn't work. I want to know him in reality. And only then can we face what's before us to face in life and not be afraid. That's the clincher. And if you've never been afraid, good for you. That's great. And God may have a different path for you. But fear is very crippling, and we need power, the power of the Holy Spirit. We need to abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So, I'm over halfway. So, one thing I can't get personal because do you notice I'm just staying away from certain things? Mm-hmm. Can't get personal. Okay. So recently I said to someone, when overwhelmed and faithless, which we often are, it's okay to be that way. When overwhelmed and faithless, fly to his love. Fly to his love. Oh, and by the way, I wanted to do this disclaimer in the beginning. This is not like doctrinally intact. I'm not making a distinction between hope, faith, and love. I'm kind of grouping. This is the spirit of the law, not the letter of the law. So I'm kind of grouping it together. Don't pick this apart doctrinally, but you know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about heart, talking about matters of the heart, okay? So we're taking faith, hope, and love and just rolling them into one because we need it all. All right. So my advice to this certain person was fly to his love. And the reason I could say it to this person is I had just been dwelling on it and written it down on the top of my sheet really big. Hannah, that day we were texting back and forth, and I said I was going like this. When overwhelmed, faithless, fly to his love. Contemplate, say it out loud, I am his. That's why I like the Good Good Father song, because you may be very sick of it, but it has truth to it. And I'm loved by you. To stand in that love, we'll have to sing it so you can hear. That we are loved by him, fly to his love, get under that banner, talk about that banner, claim that banner that is him. And his love for you, his love for us, and live there. So we need the power to live there. We need the power to live looking at that love and claiming that love, because stuff is going to try to tear us down and keep us from knowing that love in reality. It's got to be in reality or it doesn't do us any good. So turn to Ruth, if you would. I shall too. Ruth. Chapter 2, verses 8 through 13. If I had all the time in the world, I'd read the whole thing. But so here we have Ruth, and whatever, the whole story of Ruth. You can go back and read it if you're not familiar with it. But starting in verse 8, Boaz is giving instructions to Ruth, Boaz being the kinsman redeemer, her future husband. And Ruth had left everything, and he knew she had forsaken all. So her standing was one who had forsaken all to follow after Naomi. And he gave instructions to her at this point in the whole wonderful, incredible love story that the book of Ruth is. But my point is, she was told to, listen, my daughter, will you not? Do not go glean in another field, no gore from here, but stay close to my young women. So she's to stay close, she's to abide, right? That's the first thing she's supposed to do. Let your eyes be on the field which they reap and go after them. So she's supposed to go after the other young women. Go after. So she's given another. She's got to go after something. She's got to stay close and abide, and she's got to go after something. Then later on in verse 9, well, have I not commanded the young men not to touch you? And when you're thirsty, go to the vessels and drink from what the young men have drawn. So again, go to the vessels. Go get your thirst quenched. Go to those vessels. He told her which one, told her which ones to go to. So she then in verse, if you jump to verse 13, then she said, let me find favor in your sight, my Lord, for you have comforted me. So the picture here is she had things she had to do. She had to go. She had to seek after. She had to go to the right place. She had to drink from the right place and put the right people around her, the right things around her, and she found comfort. She found something real that brought her comfort. And for her in her life right then, if you go back and think about it, she really needed comfort. Things were looking bad for her and Naomi, but she found comfort. So the picture here is Boaz, her kinsman redeemer, giving her things to do. She had to do things to follow through, but she found comfort. And she stayed within the boundary of what he had for her, and she was rewarded. So, Hebrews 4:16. I think I forgot to tag that. Oh, no, I didn't. Yeah, I did. Who has that? Someone who has that?
Hebrews 4:16.
Yeah, Linda, can you read that?
Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need.
Oh, yeah. We're going to read that later in the Amplified version too. So come boldly is what I was looking for there. Come boldly, go. Go where you need to go. Do what you need to do. Do what he asks of you, because you have a right, because he is yours. So then also, I wanted to look at Hannah in 1 Samuel. So we are from Ruth to Hannah. And in 1 Samuel 1:10, we find Hannah, and you know the story of Hannah and Samuel. And actually, you don't even need to know the whole story to know verse 10. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. This spoke to me in Friday Night Bible Study. Jan said we've been doing, we did the book of Ruth and then we did Samuel. And I found such richness in both these. It was incredible, especially along this theme. And I realized, and I really related to Hannah, that she was in bitterness of soul. Have any of you ever been in bitterness of soul? I sure have. And I fear it. That's one of the things I fear, is bitterness of soul. It's a scary, awful place to be in. And I don't want to live there. And I don't think we have to live there. I think if we are living there, it's because we're choosing to live there. We're not going to the right place. We're not drinking from the right vessels. We're not following where he wants us to go. I think we can get freedom from bitterness of soul. And if you don't, if you've never known bitterness of soul, then this doesn't mean that much to you, and that's okay. But if you have, and the reason she had bitterness of soul is she had long-term disappointment. Have any of you ever known any long-term disappointment that creates bitterness of soul? Enough said about that. So in 1:15, Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor intoxicating drink, but I have poured out my soul before the Lord. So when Eli, the priest, saw her mouthing and he thought she was drunk, she was, this tells us, pouring out her soul before the Lord. She had dealings with God. It wasn't just platitudes. It wasn't just, you know, God, I'm really disappointed in you. She was pouring out her soul. And sometimes that's where we need to be. is pouring out our soul. And then in verse 18, this really got me that particular night. And she said, "Let your maidservant find favor in your sight." So the woman went away and ate, and her face was no longer sad. That spoke to me, because not only did she feel that her prayer was answered, in meeting the Lord, he took care of her needs so much that her face was no longer sad. I want him to be my peace, my comfort, my love. I want to go to him, find that I need to get along on this earth and in this life, so that my face is no longer sad. Someone's face is a reflection of what's in their heart. That's in Proverbs. I should have looked that up. The reflection of what's going on in our heart is our face. No matter how many wrinkles, it doesn't mean wrinkles. Her face was no longer sad. She had dealings with God. So both of these women sought out the one who loved them and had dealings with him and found their needs met. And what we know about Hannah is, in the future, it says that her face was no longer sad, but then what did she do? She went on and had to give up Samuel very soon and give up her little boy after he was weaned. But it doesn't talk about anything negative. It doesn't talk about her being sad. Then she went on and lived her life and brought him the robe every year, and was able to go on in her life and function, and she had more children. I don't think she was that same bitterness of soul person. I think something was actually changed within her. And I want that. I want that so much in my life. So, a few thoughts, and this is a whole other subject in and of itself, but I think some of what the Lord is telling me, this faith, this hope needs to be active. We need to go to him. We need to get to him. We need to have that face-to-face with him, whatever that might mean. And we may even need to demand it. You are mine. There's a power that he has given us. He is within us. And something in that power, we need to even demand that he reveal himself to us, that he meet our need, our heart's need. I don't mean on the outside demand. I mean, we need to come to him and demand what we have in Christ. Demand what we have by that banner over us is love. I'm under that banner. And there's another quote that I love. I don't know who wrote this one. I have who wrote the other ones. Abraham, so speaking of Abraham, Abraham believed God and said to sight, "Stand back," and to the laws of nature, "Hold your peace," and to a misgiving heart, "Silence, thou lying tempter." He believed God. So that speaks to me of us standing in what the position we have that he has given us. Position under that banner. You can make all kinds of analogies here. Standing in the good of it, and even it's very active, so much all throughout the Bible. It's very active what we have in Christ. And we need to sometimes demand that of him in a respectful way. And Isaiah 8:22 kind of scared me. It says, "Then they will look to the earth and see trouble and darkness, gloom and anguish, and they will be driven into darkness." Now, I don't think that's necessarily talking about non-Christians or whatever. I think it's speaking to us. We can choose to look to the earth and see trouble and darkness. And if we look to the earth and to ourselves, that's what we're going to see: trouble and darkness, gloom and anguish, and they will be driven into darkness. There's sort of a spiritual sort of lesson there. We look to the earth, that's what we're going to get. And we'll be driven further into darkness. So our actions, I think, matter. Our actions matter. And I really liked, Kelsey, do you have that in your, I want Kelsey to read in the Amplified. I don't have an Amplified version, and I really like what Hebrews 4:16 says in the Amplified version. Go ahead, Kelsey.
Therefore, let us with privilege approach the throne of grace, that is, the throne of God's gracious favor, with confidence and without fear, so that we may receive mercy for our failures and find His amazing grace to help in the time of need, an appropriate blessing coming just at the right moment.
So it is well timed. So I love that verse. If you can look it up, that's the YouVersion. I have it on my phone now. That well-timed in time of need, and His help is always very well-timed. So I think my summing up what the Lord has been teaching me is to we need to not crumble and look to the earth and look to ourselves and let our faces be sad. And be in bitterness and if you're in bitterness and anguish of soul, get out of it. Do what you need to get out of it. And there's so much, you know, I'm not even touching on the wondrous messages in the Psalms for us over and over and over, but get out of it. It will lead you. It's a spiral down. And even standing against the darkest, blackest fact in your life, you don't have to be in anguish of soul. And you don't have to be in bitterness. And that's being tested in my life. So we need to fearlessly, because of who He is, we need to often look at our position in Christ. We need to talk about it. We need to look at things like Song of Solomon and what has He said to us. His banner over us is love. So many things throughout Scripture. He will bring them to you. They're everywhere. You know, I've picked some obscure places where I'm finding these truths that minister to me. But all I can say is find them for yourself because they're everywhere in the Word. So we need to fearlessly and confidently, because of our position in Christ, come boldly, draw near to the throne of God's unmerited favor. It's unmerited favor. We are an amazingly blessed people. And I'm sure I'm going to get back to my little bed tonight and go, I forgot to say that and that, and I forgot to bring out that. But anyway, that's enough, because it's been a long day for everybody. So let me close in prayer. So Lord, I know I'm going to be tested on some of these things, and I know I have been tested this last week, but I know You're faithful, I know You're good, and I know the reality and truth of these words that You've shown me and that I've spoken here tonight. You're good, and Your love is incredible, and You love us so far beyond anything we can ever imagine. Anything we have experienced so far in our lives, Your love is deeper and greater, and we want to find out the depths of it. We want to explore the depths of it. And take us there, Lord. We want to step up and bravely say, take us there. Because in it is the wellspring of life. So we take You at Your word. We love You. We pray, continue to speak this weekend. And with every conversation that we have in our prayer times, with Hannah tomorrow and then Jackie on Sunday, speak to us, Lord. We need You in this world and in this life. And You've got wonders for us at every turn. And we praise You, thank You, and we love You in Jesus' name.